at this time. And one announcement that I didn't have in the video announcements, because I wanted to make it a live announcement, is that from this week going on through the month of October, we will be meeting during the Sunday school hour here in the sanctuary, because we're going to be having our missionary visitors come and speak to us about what's going on in their area of ministry. They will share what's going on around the world. And so I encourage you to come to Sunday school. If you're a regular Sunday school comer or not, come and hear what the Lord is doing through Alliance Missions in our world. That's the one announcement I wanted to make for you. We're going to be in all kinds of different areas of the scripture this morning. But before we jump there, let me pray and we will dive right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for your faithfulness, that it is great, and it is with abounding joy that we can sing about your gratefulness, your greatness, God. We are grateful for you. Your faithfulness is incredible. Father, I pray that you'll be with us this morning as we open up your word, that you will speak to us, that your Holy Spirit will ignite our hearts and our soul to see and to be different because of what we read and because of what we hear. May it not just be a form of education, Father, may it be a form of transformation, for your word is living and breathing, and it speaks directly to our hearts. Be with us now in your name. Amen and amen. I don't know if you've ever had a daughter as a father, but if you had, this story will speak to you, or if you're a daughter, or if you just love kids. There's this one story that has always grabbed my heart, and it's the story of a father who gave his young daughter a thing of plastic pearls. And he gave his daughter this necklace of plastic pearls because he loved her. He wanted to give her good things. And he shared it with her, and she loved it immediately. It was like the greatest gift she could have ever received from her daddy. And she puts them on, and she said, "Daddy, don't I look like a princess? Aren't I beautiful with my pearls on?" And the daddy would say, "Oh, absolutely, honey. You are absolutely stunning." And about a month went by, and he continued to, you know, tell her how beautiful she was with her pearls, and she never took them off. She never took them off in the shower, at school, no matter what, sleeping, she was wearing her pearls. And then about a month or two afterwards, the dad comes to his daughter, and he said, "Honey, do you love me?" She said, "Daddy, of course I love you. You give me good things like my pearls. Of course I love you, Daddy." And he said, "Well, would you give me your pearls?" Well, the daughter was kind of confused by this because he had given them to her and he had said how lovely she looks with them, and she has worn them for a long time and never taken them off. And she said, "Daddy, no, these are my pearls. You cannot take them." Although they were plastic pearls, she thought they were real. And as he would go on each night, he would ask her the same question, "Honey, can I please have your pearls?" And this went on for a couple of weeks, and then one night he comes in and he asks, and right before he gets to the full question, she has her pearls in her hand, and she gives them to her father. And then he whips out real pearls, and he puts them on her neck and says, "Honey, I was waiting for you to give me those plastic pearls so I can give you the best. You had proven to me that you could take care of these pearls, that you can take care of what I've given you, and so I give you something better." You see, I share this because the daughter, for a time, was satisfied with the second best. She was satisfied with something that wasn't fully real. It was plastic pearls, not the real pearls. And her daddy had something so much more special than those. He had something better, not just second best, but the best. Why do I share that story? Well, we're talking about missions. We're talking about going and sharing the faith of Jesus Christ with a world that is dying and that is lost. And the lost are living in and satisfied by and slaves to the second best. You and I, my friends, we have the pearls to offer to the world that is satisfied with something far less than God's best. But that's not the only reality of this sermon that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be talking about how we as Christians are to be called on mission to go, to send, to give. And we, when we do not go on mission, we're satisfied with the second best as well. Because Christians off mission are satisfied with the second best. Christians off mission are satisfied with the second best. They are slaves to the second best. So as I set that up, how do we not become slaves to the second best? Or if we are, how do we move away from being slaves to the second best? Well, there's a story of a guy that many of you probably don't know in the scripture. And the story is about a guy named Hobab. And you're wondering, I've never heard of Hobab before. Well, we're going to learn his story, and his story is going to answer the question, how can we overcome slavery to the second best? But before we get to Hobab's story, we're going to open up with the missions verse that we all know so well, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the mission. This is the best. Let's look at the story of Hobab. First, we'll look at Numbers 10, 29 through 32. And then we'll look at a quick verse in Judges 4, 11. In Numbers 10, 29 through 32, the word of the Lord says this. And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, 'I will give to you.' Come with us, and we will do good to you. For the Lord has promised good to Israel." But he said to him, "I will not go. I will not depart to my own. I will depart to my own land and to my kindred." And he said, "Please do not leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness. And you will serve as eyes for us. And if you do go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will we do to you." And then really quickly in Judges 4:11, we see this. Now Heber the Canaanite had separated from Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Saanan, which is near Kadesh. Now why do I share those? You look at that story and you say, how in the world does that have anything to do with missions? How in the world does that have anything to do with overcoming the slavery that we have to the second best? How is that going to encourage us to go on mission? I'm glad you asked that question, because when you come to something like missions, where especially in the CMA, we have all talked about missionary work and going and sending and launching and giving for so long, we can sometimes miss these types of obscure stories that talk about going on mission. That we can be confused as to what is actually happening. Let me just share with you a little bit of background and context. Now, you might notice as the scriptures happen in Numbers and in Judges, it might make this confusing, because Hobab might actually be Jethro, his father-in-law, not his brother-in-law. But in fact, he is his brother-in-law. Let me just clear that up. Before we talk about Hobab, some of you scholars are looking and saying, who is this guy? What is his relationship to Moses? He is the brother-in-law of Moses. And he was there traveling with them at Mount Sinai, and he's about ready to head back to Midian, and Moses has a conversation with him and says, "Come with us. Don't leave. Don't go away back to Midian. Come with us. We desire you to be with us." He's inviting Hobab into mission. He's inviting him to come and be a part of what God is going to do in the nation of Israel. It is a call to a journey on a mission. Now, he had no idea, Hobab, that is, as he was listening to this story, that they would be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, right? He might have chosen a different path in the end if that was known to him right away. But there's this passion and this power in Moses' voice as he calls Hobab to mission. And I believe that the first thing that you and I can see from Moses' conversation with Hobab as to overcoming the slavery to second best is this. God's invitation is full of irresistible hope. God's invitation is full of irresistible hope. Look what he says in verse 29. We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good to you. And again in verse 32, it says, and if you do go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will we do to you. He's like, listen, Hobab, you don't understand. All the promises that God has given to us as Israelites will, in fact, become yours. Look at the incredible thing that God has promised to his people. You've already seen the crazy things that God has done on the mountain of Sinai. You've seen that the God that we serve is the real God. Come with us. Go on this journey. Come on this mission. It is hopeful. He's giving him hope, and he's sharing his passion. He is strong in his will, in his desire for Hobab to come. Not only because he loves him, but because he wants to have Hobab join in this journey. He wants to have Hobab a part of the mission. And when we look at what God has called us to go, to send, to make disciples, the invitation is full of hope. Because we offer the greatest message in the entire universe, on the entire planet, and that is salvation by Jesus Christ through his death and through his resurrection. That's the greatest hope you and I could ever have. The greatest thing that we could ever grab onto. Jesus' mission that he brings to us, that he calls us onto, is the supreme thing in our lives. As believers, that should be primero, number one, the thing that we go after. The mission of Jesus. What is he calling us to? Once we come to salvation and recognize the world offers the second best, we can't be content to just sit on our butts and not go on mission. Because if we are satisfied with the second best. He's calling Hobab to move away from the second best and to come on mission. It's irresistible hope. Now, he has to give him that hope twice. But I do fully believe after Hobab first rejects the idea of going, he does accept going because it says that Hobab's descendants were there in the book of Judges. He went. He was there. He chose to go. And I believe that part of his reason to choose was this passionate hope that Moses was offering him. God is going to do amazing things with our people, and he will do it for you as well. We have a story similar. God has done incredible things in my life, and he can do it for you as well. Are we living with an irresistible hope that will encourage people to come on mission, to be with Jesus, to know Jesus? But are we encouraging one another with the hope of mission? I love what Compassionate International does with the shoe boxes. Because they're saying, come on mission with us. You might not be able to travel all around the world, but you can give and you can see joy on the kids' faces because trust me, they're experiencing the joy of Jesus from your boxes. That's part of mission, giving. Part of mission is going. Hobab had to make a choice. Do I stay or do I go? You and I as believers, my friends, we have the same proposition before us. And too many Christians stay. Too many Christians stay. I talked with a lot of high schoolers as they went to the Life Conference back when I was a youth pastor. And they felt a call to missions. And they said, I want to go overseas. I want to move in that. I want to go on mission. And you know what was incredibly sad is when they came home and they told their believing parents, I want to go on mission. Their parents said, no. Maybe you could just be a pastor in the United States. Wait a second. We're called to go to the ends of the earth. We're called to be senders. And some of the time that when we are sending, we need to send our own children. Maybe you see upon your child the gifting of going and preaching and teaching and being a missionary. Encourage that. Massage that into their life and say, you know what? You were given to me by the Lord, and now I give you back to the Lord. Hobab had a decision to make. Do I stay or do I go? My friends, a Christian's journey is both towards Jesus and alongside him. There was this sense of going towards the promised land for Hobab, a place of those flowing with milk and honey. And I'm sure Moses, with his passionate presentation of this new land, was giving him all the details that God had given this hope. And he said, will you come alongside? It's not just going towards something. It's inviting us to come alongside. You know, the beautiful thing about the Christian faith is that you and I have the opportunity to serve alongside our God. Amen. He invites us on a journey alongside of him to move forward in mission, to do that which he has called us to do. He is releasing us to do his mission. Just as God was releasing Hobab to be connected to Moses to go to the promised land, you and I have a mission and a journey that we can be alongside of Jesus with. Too many times we neglect to go alongside of him. We are on a mission. We are on a mission. Next week, we're going to hear about how we are on a mission for our neighborhood. And then after the missionary comes, we're going to look at the outer rim of the world, the outer rim of our area. How can we be people on mission to those areas, to our neighborhoods, to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth? But before we could talk about that, we have to choose, like Hobab, are we going to go or are we going to stay? We can have a journey alongside of Jesus. But we tend to make excuses for not going on mission. You know, I've talked with some folks who felt called to missions or ministry, and they said, well, I'm just not there yet because I need to pay off this new car, or I need to get this job and pay off these debts. And there's all kinds of excuses about not going on mission. And then you know what ends up happening? They end up not going at all. End up not going at all. Guys, we can't make excuses for not going on mission. If God has called you to go on mission for him overseas or here in our neighborhood, do it. Go. Journey alongside. Be like Hobab. I believe Hobab chose to go. Will you choose to go? God is doing incredible things all around the world. And as I've said before, the CMA's passion for missions is to bring back the King, where every area of the world can hear the gospel. And when that happens, the King will return. That's another reason why some people don't want to go on mission, because they're like, I don't want to come back yet. I'm comfy. I got my place. I don't want him to mix things up a little bit. We got to be people on mission. We've got to go and offer this hope, because your job or whatever you're waiting for when it comes to not going on mission can't offer you hope. The gospel and journeying alongside Jesus is all that brings hope in our lives. That is it. I love what a Russian novelist said. He said, to live without hope is to cease to live. Are we living hopeless, or are we living hopeful lives? Because if we're living hopeful lives, we're inviting other people into a journey. Moses was passionate. He was hopeful. He had no doubt in his mind that what God had said was going to happen was going to happen. Are we that secure in our knowledge of what God is going to do, that he's going to come back, that he is going to right all the wrongs, restore all the brokenness? Because if we believe that, we will live in hope. We will show the passion of hope that comes. Moses was filled with an irresistible hope. As believers, we have an irresistible hope to live for. Are we living for that hope? Are we offering other people to come on the journey of faith to believe that Jesus is the living, breathing God who died for our sins and who rose again to conquer Satan, sin, and death? If that doesn't juice you up in the morning, I don't know what will. Because that is hope-filled truth. And when we have that hope-filled truth, it just wells up without us. We can't help but talk about it. We have a passionate hope that we need to grab onto. Clovis Chapel, a great pastor, said, the measure of our power to win others to Christ is the measure of the fullness with which we are possessed by him. That's God. And God is hope. I love that phrase, possessed by him. Are we possessed by Him? Are we possessed by hope? Because if we're possessed by hope, we live differently. Amen? We live differently in this world. And we'll see the brokenness and the pain and the hardships. And we'll want to bring hope. And we'll want to go all kinds of different places sharing this hope. It is irresistible. Hobab was convinced, in part, by Moses' hope. He gave the vision. He gave the picture. And he said, this is where we're going, and this is where you can come. And you will be welcome, and everything we receive will be everything that you receive. It will not be different. We have that same hope. Are we living with irresistible hope? Hobab went. The next thing that we can see from these passages is in order to overcome slavery to the second best, we must recognize that living without direction leads to stagnation. Living without direction leads to stagnation. You see, what was going to happen with Hobab, he had a choice. Is he going to go back home and do what he knew? Or is he going to go on a journey? Is he going to have direction? Is he going to have forward momentum? Or is he going to go backward? Because my friends, if we're not going forward, we're going backward. Because other people are moving forward, we're staying in the back. It's not one or the other. It's if we don't go, we are going back. And God is calling us to a journey, a mission as a church and to you as individuals to be on mission for Him, to move forward, to go in a direction, to have movement. Our faith, our Christian faith should constantly be about movement, closer to Him. As we follow Him on the journey, we go closer to the world to bring them to Jesus. Does your faith right now have forward momentum, or are you stuck? My challenge is to choose to move forward. Do not remain stagnant in your relationship with the Father. Do not remain stagnant in the mission that God has for you. Move forward as He calls you. Move forward. We talked last night or yesterday morning with the men in our community. We did men's ministry yesterday morning, and we talked about how we need to be people of action, that we live in communities that desperately need a father figure. And we need to go and be in the community to move forward, to spend time with those that don't have a father figure in their lives, that we should be men on mission, bringing healing to the idea of fatherhood in our communities. That is forward movement. That is not stagnation. But sitting at home, just sitting on the couch watching TV or Netflix or whatever it is, that's not forward momentum. That's stagnation. Are we content with that type of faith? We should ask for a holy discontent to move forward, to have direction. Moses was offering Hobab direction. He was offering him something different. Many people spend most of their lives wandering or stagnant. Many people search for their identity or significance. And they do that in all kinds of different things: their job, their money, their power, their prestige. We should find our significance in Christ, our identity in Him, and then in our direction. We don't need to wander around life. God has direction. He has forward momentum. He has tracks that He has laid down that you and I can follow. What is the mission that God is calling you specifically on? What is the mission that God has put upon your heart to move forward? Don't pause. Don't stop and make excuses. Go. Whether it's to China or to your neighborhood, go. Go. Choose like Hobab to go. Don't remain stagnant. Obey the voice of our Father. The next thing that we can see from this passage that Moses is offering to Hobab to overcome the slavery of the second best is that mission is meant to be accomplished together in community. Mission is meant to be accomplished together in community. Hobab was offered to come alongside in community with Israel, to be grafted in. Look what he says. He said, come with us and we will do good to you. Moses wasn't just saying, come with me. He wasn't saying, I will be good to you. He said, no, you're joining a family. You're joining a community, and we're going to do this together. And they did it together for 40 years, and they were wandering around, but they were together. They lived together, and some of them died together. If you know the story, yeah, have fun with that. But they were in community. It was powerful, passionate. They loved one another. They worked together. When someone fell in the desert, they picked them up and they moved them forward. They did mission together. They did it as a community. And listen, as believers in Christ, when we are on mission, we are in it together. We're in it together. That's why missionaries have sending churches. Because we say to that person, we are in this with you. Come hell or high water, we are in this with you. We're going to send you. We're going to come over. We're going to minister to you. Sometimes missionaries just need someone to go and pray with them in person. Are we going to spend $2,000 so that we can fly over the nation to lay with somebody and as they cry and hold them and pray with them? Because missionaries don't get that very often. I don't know if you know that. They have a really difficult time because what they're doing is hard. And it's one thing to have a Skype conversation to pray with someone. It's another one to lay your hands upon them. I heard missionaries in Africa and Burkina Faso, they had a couple of folks come in and do a week of what's called soul care, where they would pray with them and they would minister to them and they would just go deep into their life and ask God to heal the broken areas of their own heart. And they said that they were ready to do missions work for the next 10 years because of that. They were almost ready to throw in the towel. We're in this together. And, you know, when we look at what we're going to do for our community, we are in it together. We are on mission as a church together. It's not the pastor and the elders and the business board. It is us. We are on this mission together. We are in community. And another thing that I think is important for us to recognize is that church is not a country club. It's a community. It's people coming together for one purpose, serving Jesus. Not coming together because we look alike or act alike or think alike or vote alike. That's not why we're together. We're together because of Jesus. And we're on mission together. It's not a country club. It's not saying, hey, you have to do this, this, and this, and then you're welcome. You have to dress this way, and then we'll talk to you. No, that's not what it is. That's not community. If we're going to invite people into the mission of Christ as a church community, no matter what they look like, what they smell like, what they talk like, no matter what, they need to be welcome into community. Because, my friends, God offers belonging. This world offers fake belonging. He offers true, honest belonging. Hobab was offered community. Hobab was offered belonging. And then let's do mission together. Jesus came to seek and save the lost and give them a place to belong. Church should be the safest place for broken people. Church should be the safest place for broken people. It's the way it should be. That's not been Western church culture, however. If we can't do mission right in our own backyard, we're going to struggle to do mission right overseas. And we're going to talk about that next week, how we can do mission right in our neighborhoods. He came to seek and save the lost and offer belonging. David Bosch, a missiologist, said this: the classical doctrine on the Messiah day as God the Father sending the Son and God the Father and the Son sending the Spirit was expanded to include yet another movement: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sending the church into the world. We're not just sent here to be on the block of Warren Road and Ben Franklin. We're not just to be a building on a block. We're not even supposed to just have a sign that tells people who we are. We are to be a people that are on mission, sent into our world. Are we infiltrating the broken areas of our community with love, grace, and Jesus. That's our mission right here in our backyard. Are we choosing like Hobab to go, or are we remaining stagnant? Do we have forward momentum, or are we going backwards? My friends, we are sent to the world. We are God's movement to the world. You and I have a huge part to play because God chose to make it that way. He offers us the opportunity to join Him in missions. Will we? Finally, we can see from this passage as we look at slavery to the second best, how do we overcome slavery to the second best? Well, we find our purpose in pursuit of His mission. We find our purpose in pursuit of His mission. Listen, you were created for a purpose. You and I were created for a purpose. And when we journey alongside Jesus, when we go after the mission that He has called us into, we discover our true purpose. Only God knows what that is for each individual. You have a specific purpose. Look at why I say that. As Moses is talking with Hobab, he says, I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And Moses said to him, please do not leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. What's he saying to Hobab? He's saying, listen, Hobab, we need you. We need you. For this mission, you have a purpose. You know the wilderness. You know where we should go and where we shouldn't go. You know what plants we should eat and which ones we shouldn't. You know which snakes we should touch and which ones we shouldn't. You grew up in Midian. You know the desert. You know this place. We need you. Hobab, will you come? Will you fulfill your purpose alongside of us? Will you be who we need you to be because we need you? How often do we say that to the people in our church? We need you. I say that to you. We need you. You have gifts and skills and talents that I don't have, that the elders don't have, that the business board doesn't have. I don't care how old or young you are. I don't care what stage of life you're in. We need you. You have a purpose, and we need you. Some of you might say, oh, well, you know, I can't work with the kids anymore. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. Or, oh man, I'm just too young. I can't do that, or I can't do this. Maybe you can. You know, I love watching our students work in the nursery with kids, loving toddlers. They're ministering to them. They're taking time out of their week to be with little kids. I love on Wednesdays we have some high school students who work with little kids. They're taking time out of their week to spend time with kids. They're on mission. We need you. Ask the Lord, what is my purpose? What can I do here in this church for this body? What talents have you given me? Let me be unleashed, Lord. Because the reality is the Lord wants to unleash you on mission here in Indiana. Ask, pray. What can I do for the body of Christ? What mission can I move forward in? What is God calling me to here or abroad? Because we need you. We absolutely need you. God is doing some incredible things in our church, but it's not about any one person or any group of people. It needs to be about all of us moving forward. Because if we're not all on mission together, we won't be able to move forward the way in which we're supposed to be. Moses said to Hobab, we need you. We need you to come on mission. You've got eyes to see things that we don't. Moses was admitting, I'll probably die without you, Hobab. Now again, Hobab had no idea that he was going to be leading them and telling them these things for 40 years. Thank the Lord he didn't know that, because he might have not gone on mission. Alan Hirsch, another missiologist, said, the church on mission is a community of God's people that defines itself by and organizes its life around its real purpose of being an agent of God's mission to the world. And another missiologist, Stephen Saccone, said the church exists to equip and mobilize Christ followers to embody Christ's mission. Mission is the difference between having an emotion and actually doing something. The Christian faith is marked by action. The Christian faith is marked by mission. The Christian faith is marked by doing holy, empowered things through the power of the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is, as Hobab, say, I'm willing to go, and then allow the Holy Spirit to be in you and through you to use you for His mission. And I hope you're stirred up. I hope that you're wondering, what can I do? I hope you're saying, how can I go on mission? Because that's my prayer for you. Ask, seek, pray. Where am I supposed to be in action? Where am I supposed to be moving forward? Because we need you. You have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. Someone might say, oh, well, I might be too old to go on mission. Well, Luann and I, we discovered at council that there's a 70-year-old that is going on mission with Envision, who's doing missions work. He said, you know what? I'm retired. My kids are gone. I'm going. I don't care. My knees hurt. I don't care. My back aches. I don't care. I'm going because God has called me to, and I know He'll empower me to go. It's a beautiful thing. When we rest and say, God, I'm going. Tell me where to go. He'll give you the power, the passion, and the ability to do what He's called you to do. Believe that. Hobab did, and he went. He had descendants in Israel. Will you and I be like Hobab? Will we go? Will we find our direction? Will we find our purpose? Will we find that mission is action? Or will we remain stagnant? That answer is up to you. But I pray you go. Father, we love you. I thank you for stories like Hobab's. I thank you for the reality of community that we have in the body of Christ, where we can build one another up, encourage one another, where we can go with one another, send one another, give to the mission of one another. Father, I pray that we will be a community that goes, that sends, that gives. That we'll be a community on mission where we have forward momentum. We go with our direction. We move in the way you're calling us to move. That we walk alongside of you in this journey. That we are not slaves to the second best of just sitting and being content. And Father, I know that when we choose to go and your Spirit empowers us, incredible, amazing, hope-filled things will happen in our community. Show us how to go, where to go, and fill us with your power to do that which you've called us to. In your name, amen.